Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here in the studio again with you on another Sunday evening.
It's good. We've been doing some heavy shows. See, I used to be kind of a hippie, so I can say it's heavy.
It's heavy,
it's
man.
It's like heavy, man.
It's heavy, man. It's deep.
It's mind-blowing.
Let's not go there.
But it's, and you know, to go along with what we've been talking about, heavy is actually a good term.
That's true.
Modern people don't have anything that's heavy because everything's light and fluffy and...
Yes, that's very true.
And kind of happy and... You know, everything goes along.
Yeah.
So nobody's feelings are hurt. Nobody's offended. You don't have to think about anything.
We're kind of trying to develop our own, like, emotional utopia.
Yeah. Yeah. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay. You know? Yeah.
I'm okay. You're okay.
We're all okay.
Everybody's cool. Everything's cool. What you think and,
it's,
you know, somebody said, I'm trying to remember the quote. Somebody was talking about how every how most religions of the world kind of go on this idea that you're searching for truth. And when you find truth, you know, it makes you happy and you get peace and stuff.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the exact quote, but it was like, the religions of the world want to show you how to find God.
Yeah.
But Jesus comes and says, I am God, and I've come to find you.
Yeah.
Which, I think it goes something like that. And I can't remember who said it, but that's pretty neat.
That is true. Yeah, they're all, because they're looking for enlightenment.
Yes, enlightenment.
And but Jesus is the light.
Yes. And you look at, especially at the Eastern religions, it's like you know, out of your consciousness and your psyche and your whatever, you know, comes all this enlightenment and you understand. But actually, Christianity, the truth with a capital T, that comes from the outside on you.
True.
Your inside is only capable of, you know, Jesus said out of the human heart comes all these horrible things.
That's true.
All these horrible things. And... At the time of the flood, you know, but while, Noah was building the boat and, Mrs. Noah was saying, what are you doing out there?
Mrs. Noah.
And he says, I gotta go to Home Depot again because I don't have enough of the whatever.
I'm out of cedar lumber.
I gotta go get some more gopher wood.
I'm out of balsa wood.
Get some more gopher wood at
Cypress
Home Depot.
Cypress is really good too. It's water resistant.
But you know, it's, that's right. But it's kind of like, I forgot where I was going with this.
Sorry.
Now. That's right. But, anyway, Noah during that time had to put up with a lot of ridicule.
Yes.
They were nowhere near an ocean and he's building this huge boat in his, you know, back lot somewhere.
And it hadn't rained.
Field. And everybody going by going, dude, what are you doing? Building this big boat. And
there wasn't any rain.
There wasn't any rain.
Yeah.
It was a desert climate, nowhere near an ocean. They had never sailed anywhere. And, you know, Mrs. Noah probably thought he was crazy at first, but then she got the idea that he really had to do this.
Yeah.
But, you know, he worked 120 years on the ark.
It's a long time.
Yes. Now, you know, when we take our garbage out and our neighbor says, I can't believe you waste your time going to church. We don't even have the gumption to say, well, let me tell you why I go. You know, we can't even put up with a 5-second interlude, let alone 120 years of people making fun of you.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine the ridicule he withstood.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
In this passage, sure. I think you should probably read the passage again from Mark 8.
Mark 8.
But it's, you know, Jesus says, this is going to be, there's going to be problems in this. This is not going to be like the life you've been leading up to now.
True.
You know, like he told Peter in John 21, you know, when you were young, you dressed yourself, you went where you wanted to go.
Yeah.
Now other people are going to dress you and they're going to tie you up and they're going to take you where you don't want to go.
That's true.
And you don't know, and like we've said before, you may end up in a prison camp in North Korea, or you may end up preaching in Beverly Hills, or you may, you know, you don't know where you're going to end up, because your calling is going to be to a certain thing, to a certain place. You have a certain mission that you have to fulfill.
True.
That isn't of your planning.
Right. Yeah, it's God's plan. I mean, our call is to be available to what he wants me. My call is to be available to what he wants me to do. And that's really the call of discipleship.
Yeah.
Is because God's created us. He knows the plan he's made for us. And we have to make ourselves available to him so that he can show us that plan.
Yeah.
I have no control over who God wants to send in my life to preach the gospel to.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I just have to be ready to preach it when that divine appointment happens.
And you don't know from day to day, from hour to hour, what's going to happen.
True.
And and Noah's actually a pretty good example, because one thing's for sure is Noah had never built a boat before.
Didn't he go to school for ark building?
And he certainly had never built one that big.
True.
And yet he did it.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't say to God, you know what? I don't know what you're talking about, because I've never built a boat. I don't even know what a boat is. Yeah. So, you know, can I do something else?
You think Mrs. Noah asked him,
and then,
honey, how come there's a curved bottom to the house? Why isn't there a foundation?
That's right. And then, you know, they put the Weather Channel on. And
oh, geez.
Everything's covered with the green. Forecast for today's rain, and for tonight's rain, and tomorrow it's rain. And
I wonder if
the 10-day forecast
rain. 3-month outlook, rain. 6-month outlook, more rain. Kind of sounds like the last couple of months around here.
Yeah, for sure. But why don't you read Mark 8:34-38 again?
Okay. He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What could one give in exchange for his life? Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this faithless and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels."
Hmm. That whole idea of shame is a scary one.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're now in sort of a new kind of Christianity where if you go on Sunday morning, it's just kind of, you know, part of your weekend activity, and you like the music and you want to go there and have a nice time. And you want to go there and feel good about yourself, and you want to go there and feel good about all the people that are with you, and you want to leave there kind of upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
So that you get back to your car and say, wow, I feel good now. I feel kind of upbeat. So let's go get some breakfast. Rather than saying, I'm going to worship. I'm going to see what the Lord has to say. I'm going to present myself there.
Mm-hmm.
These are getting to be alien concepts.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are many, many good churches, very, very many good mega churches. But when the whole thing becomes, we come here, we don't make anybody feel bad, we accept everybody who comes, and we play some really good music, the essence is missing.
If there's not a call to for metanoia, if there's not a call for to you know, change your life, not all the habits that we pick up as human beings in our existence on the earth are from God.
Yeah.
There's many sinful habits that lead us into sin that become habitual patterns, mm-hmm, that separate us from God.
Mm-hmm.
And if the pastor isn't a shepherd, but a hired hand, then the congregation is in great peril.
That's right. Because when the wolf comes.
Yeah. I mean, their soul is at stake.
Yes, exactly.
And Satan will devour them.
Exactly. That's why in the book of James writes, if you're going to be a teacher, you better be careful, because you're going to be held to a higher standard. because if you just go wrong on your own, well, that's between you and God what you did, what you go wrong. But if you're responsible for 3,000 people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people, and you send them down a wrong path,
yeah,
you're responsible for them as well. God tells Ezekiel that.
Right.
The one thing's for sure here is that Jesus isn't telling them, you can follow me the way you are, just, you know, go to church on Sunday instead of Saturday.
Right.
Or, you know, say an extra prayer when you go to bed.
Well, you know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about, like, even with music ministries, as I lead music ministry and people sing and play, you know, there's a, if you're going to lead the congregation in worship, you have to leave yourself at the door.
Yeah.
Because what are you offering God when you walk into that church? Are you checking yourself at the door or at the cross and saying, Lord, examine my heart and show me what's from you and show me what's from me and what I need to leave at the foot of your cross here?
Mm.
Because I want to worship you in spirit and in truth, and I want to be free of all these other distractions and of myself, so that I can be a vessel for you to use.
Wow, that's good.
And a lot of times there's pushback because the person's going to go, what are you talking about? I'm just a volunteer here. You're much more than a volunteer. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Your life has been purchased by the blood of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm. You've been bought with a price.
Yeah, you've been bought at a price.
Yes, Peter said.
What are you offering God when you walk through these doors? Did you prepare? Did you think about anything that you were going to do this weekend? Or did you just come here and go, oh man, it's been such a tough week. Oh gosh, I just want to relax. I just want to have fun. I don't want to think about anything. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm really not even prepared to worship God. I just want to chill out because I just want to rest. Mm-hmm. It might not be a bad thing, but if you're leading the congregation in worship, you have a responsibility. And sometimes that responsibility is not understood. And if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ and you're called to proclaim the gospel, you have a responsibility to proclaim it in all of its truth, not partially, but in all of its truth.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And as he says this about denying yourself, you know, he's showing that what you're doing is not just about you. Your life is not just about you. There's a purpose to your life. There's a point to your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that he has to be the center of that point. And that your life has to be transformed. You know, use a good word with metanoia, the Greek. You know, that's translated as repentance, but it actually means you change your life 180 degrees.
Yeah.
You're walking in one direction, but now you're walking in a different direction. Now, you still might look back and fall down once in a while, but in general, you're heading in an opposite direction of where you were going before.
You should no longer be a wandering Aramean.
That's right. Good point. And this is how your life gets united with him. And Paul talks about my old self was crucified.
Yes.
Because now you live in him, and so fruit starts to be produced.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan starts to be worked out.
Right.
And people around you should see this. People around you should see, hey, wait a minute. I knew that guy 10 years ago, and he wasn't talking like that.
Yeah.
Or, well, that's funny that I can't believe this guy is doing all this stuff. How does he do all that stuff?
Yeah.
If nobody around you can tell that you're a follower of Jesus, you know, it's like the old saying, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?
Yeah.
It's most of us are undercover.
Yeah. It kind of makes me think of like when we bought our house, 20 some years ago, you know, the bushes were overgrown.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was kind of, you know, it was like, kind of wild. And you get in there and you start doing some gardening, you trim the hedges, you make it look presentable, but you got to do a lot of pruning.
Oh,
and I know that's your favorite subject.
I hate being pruned.
But once it's done,
yes,
there's a difference.
Right.
You can see a difference.
Right.
And that's what God wants to do in our lives.
And you bear more fruit.
You bear more fruit. You know, everybody that comes to the Lord is kind of like a wild thornbush sometimes. You know, overgrown. There's not much shape to it. But God, that's God's specialty. He takes that, the mess that we're in, and he can transform it into something that's going to glorify the kingdom.
Yeah.
And produce fruit.
That's a good point. I mean, look at, you know, we like to point out all the characters, I shouldn't call them characters, but the people that are in the Old Testament were all a mess.
Yeah.
The people who are in the New Testament were all a mess. And then look what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my two favorites are David and Peter. I mean, they're kind of like what I look at. I mean, Paul's my hero, but I look at David and Peter and thinking, well, if David and Peter can be used for what they were used for, despite all their human failings, and despite all their thinking and all their speech and all their philosophies, then God takes that mess and makes something out of it. Doesn't ignore the mess, but uses that, redeems all the stuff through that mess.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like what Jesus is talking about here in Mark 8. You got to deny yourself and follow me. And even if you're a mess, I'm going to fix up your mess.
Yeah.
And, you know, we tend to do sort of self-idolatry. And nobody's more important than I am. I should be the center of this.
Yeah.
Or my comfort should come before whatever anybody else thinks. Or my thoughts should be what everybody else should be thinking about. Or my opinion on this is the right one. All those other people are totally screwed up. I mean, this is how we live, and a certain amount of that is just because we have Adam's nature.
And that's how new churches start.
Yes, and that's right. And so we have kind of self-idolatry,
right?
Because we worship ourselves because we think we're pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't have to think about it very long to understand how each of us do that.
Yeah.
And how many times you walk away from somebody and say, geez, that guy just doesn't get it.
Yeah.
He's just not nearly as smart as I am or...
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But we do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, yet, God still uses us in spite of that. And if you're united by your old self having been crucified, like Paul talks about in Romans and many other places, you go through your life and you may fall and you may deviate off the path once in a while. I mean, for sure you will. Not you may, you will, for sure.
Yeah.
But you know where the road is to get back on the road.
Yeah.
And, you know, when somebody has a failing, you know that there's a way back. Mm-hmm. If you choose not to come back, well, then that's a different story.
Yeah.
But you know that there's a way back. Because when you're on the path with him, that's your real life now. And your life can't be like, you know, like we said last week, Jesus doesn't come to just make your life a little more interesting or to kind of supplement your life in some way, like, oh, I read this book about positive thinking.
Yeah.
And so now I know how to do my business dealings better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what people think about in terms of religion.
Yeah. It's like if it's some type of supplemental, you know, insurance plan or just some supplemental thing that is going to, yeah, enhance your life, and you're going to get riches, and you're just going to be a better person, and God's going to bless you with all this kind of stuff.
But this is a radical call to discipleship. Yeah. It's radical. And I can't, you know, when I was thinking about this the other night and starting to make some notes, I couldn't get out of my mind what these people listening to him would have thought when he said, well, you have to take up your cross and follow me.
You think about the rich young man and said, Master, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Go sell all your possessions. Come and follow me.
Yeah. Ooh, then he couldn't deal with that.
He couldn't deal with it. He couldn't do it.
And most of us would say the same thing. Say, well, wait a minute. What do you mean? I'm not going to give you everything that's in my bank account and get rid of all my family members and just come with you.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I can't just do that.
I mean, but you think about it, that's a... You know, when Jesus says that to the rich young man, that's a radical call to conversion.
Yes, it's radical.
And that's what the gospel is, a radical call to conversion.
That's right.
And we're trying to, and really it's been in, it's kind of been, you know, we want to normalize it into, well, it's not, you know, it's not that radical. Now, come on. Now, we can't be that radical. Right. We're called to be salt of the earth. We're called to be light. The opposite of light is darkness. You know, if you're not salt, if salt loses its flavor, it's no good. It's trampled underfoot. But yet, it's almost like pop psychology. You know, they want to take all these emotions that everybody has, and granted, you should have control over your emotions,
mm-hmm.
But they want to minimize the emotions so that you're kind of a flat line.
Yes, exactly.
And that there's no peaks, there's yes. no valleys, it's just a nice smooth. Now, God does want a smooth path to come into the world on, but that's not what he giveth the gift of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And if our emotions are flat, or if our, you know, if you see a flat line EKG that's flat, well, the person's in trouble.
Person.
They need to be that's resuscitated.
Right. That's right.
And Jesus specialized in that.
Yes, exactly. And like you said, when you mentioned, you know, we're not our own, we've been bought with a price.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have to keep that in mind, that we're not our own.
Mm-hmm.
We've been
yeah.
bought. And, you know, the words in Hebrew and the words in Greek for that kind of redemption are the same words that you would say that you would pay for a slave to be made free.
Right.
So you paid a ransom. So you say, well, I know this guy's a slave, but he's kind of a nice guy and I really like him. So I'm going to go to the owner and say, how much do you want for that slave? And he says $300, and you give the guy $300 and then you tell the slave, you're free. That's the word that's used there mm-hmm. in Hebrew and in Greek, because we've been bought with a price. And like Peter says, it's not silver and gold.
Yeah.
It's not precious things. It's the blood, capital B, that we've been bought with.
Yeah.
And so when we make our own plans, we're saying, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know all that stuff about blood with a capital B, but here's what I think.
Yeah.
I should know. We've been bought with a price. We have to follow. Mm-hmm. And he, when he does this concept of denying, it's very radical. Because just like I was saying before, when you saw a guy carrying a cross, you knew he wasn't going to come back.
Yeah.
When we crucify our old self, we don't want our old self coming back again.
Right.
We want that old self to be gone.
Yeah.
And the conditions of this, of discipleship, haven't changed.
True.
There hasn't been an amendment to this. Or there hasn't been, I don't know what we would call it, a modification. Or it hasn't been like, I don't know, version 2.0. It's,
yeah.
the discipleship is the same. It hasn't been changed.
Right. You know, when we first read after we read Mark, you talked about whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this faithless and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his Father's glory with his angels. Those are strong words.
Yes.
And, you know, you're either going to, when we see Jesus, he's either going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you.
Yep.
And hopefully we hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
That I've heard the voice of the Lord, I've responded to the call, and I've served him faithfully.
I've run the race, I've kept the faith.
Yeah. But I mean, think about that. Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, I will be ashamed of when I return.
Yeah. It's very powerful.
Yeah.
And I think of that whenever you think to yourself, yeah, I better not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this guy to think I'm crazy. I'm worried, you know, what if I lose my job? Or I'm worried, what are the people here going to think?
Yeah.
And I tell people, you know, just because somebody's on Sunday morning sitting next to you in the pew or the chair, you don't even know what's in that person's mind. You may need to tell him the gospel, even though he's sitting there in church with you.
True.
But, oh, no, the music's already playing. But the call to discipleship is so radical. And this is where I think we got to pick this up again.
Yes.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that in your walk with Jesus, that you would deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him, and proclaim the gospel in all of its truth and all of its fullness to the glory of God the Father through Christ his Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.